Exodus 24, verse 1. God said to Moses, "Come up to Yahweh, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from a distance, or far off." But the original plan in Exodus 19, verse 13, had been that Israel should come up the mountain. "When the voices and trumpets and cloud depart from the mountain, they shall come up on the mountain." But this didn't happen. They had been told, Exodus 19, verse 10, the people were told to sanctify themselves and to wash their garments. And they did wash their garments, but they did not sanctify themselves. And in the end, they do not come up on the mountain as was planned. Instead, only Moses, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu and the elders go up. And the people don't. But it had been God's intention that he would meet his entire people there. And yet they didn't. And why didn't they? Well, because they were told to sanctify themselves and wash their clothes. They did wash their clothes. But to sanctify means to be separate from something. And I believe they were being asked to separate from their Egyptian idolatry. We are told in Ezekiel 20, verse 8, categorically, that they took the idols of Egypt with them through the Red Sea. Acts 7 quotes Amos very clearly that they carried with them the star of their god Remphan and the tabernacle of Moloch, as well as the tabernacle of Yahweh. They are being told to sanctify themselves, to separate from all that stuff. And the record is in the later scripture that they did not do that. They were not sufficiently sanctified. And therefore the initial intention that they themselves should have come up the mountain was not fulfilled. And actually, that pretty well is what is said in Hebrews 12, verse 20 in the New Testament, where we read that they could not endure, or literally uphold, what was commanded them at the time when God came down upon Sinai. Well, what is that referring to? I think it's referring to the way that they did not respect the holiness of God, because they did not, in fact, obey the commandment to not touch the mountain originally. They were told, first of all, not to touch the mountain. And they were not obedient to the call to sanctify themselves. So then they saw, they perceived Yahweh's holiness and their sinfulness, and instead of just ditching all that and coming to him as he was beckoning them, in Exodus 20, they retreat to a distance. They shy away from him. So God had hoped for intimacy with them, and yet they did not want that. They shied away, and they could have heard the entire dialogue of God with them, but instead they didn't. They did not want to hear the voice of God. They say to Moses, "Look, you go near, you hear what this God says, and you tell us." And so they, when actually offered absolute intimacy with God, an absolutely incredible situation where the whole people could have heard God's voice and had this meeting with God, as the elders of Israel did, that they saw God, that is, I guess, in the angel, and ate and drank with him. Well, all of Israel could have had that, but they shied away from it. And so it is when people want intimacy with God and they say they're searching for truth, when they actually find it, when they actually stumble right across it, a lot of them will turn away from it. They want to be on an eternal search rather than actually accepting God's truth, the reality of he himself. And this is where the idea of "I'm searching for the truth" actually can become a bit of an escapism from God himself. That, oh no, I'm still searching, and I'm going to go on searching. Well, yeah, they're going to go on searching all their lives, because when they actually find the simple, profound truth of God and the meeting with God, which he is willing and eager to have, they don't want it. And so it can be with us. Now in John 17:24, I think that Jesus alludes to this moment when the elders do go up the mountain. He says, I will that they also be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. It's as if Jesus is talking about all of us, and he wants us to be with him where I am. It's as if he's feeling himself to be Moses up the mountain, beholding the glory, and he wants us to come forward. And we therefore have got to follow. We want to follow, surely. Now, why would they not have wanted to hear God's voice? Why did they not want that intimacy with God? Why did they shy away? They wanted mere religion. They wanted to have a mediator between themselves and God rather than having that directness of contact which God offered. Well, why? Because to actually have a personal encounter and meeting with God Almighty, this is something that's going to demand your all. This is a relationship which forevermore can never be a hobby, can never be a pastime, can never be an intellectual pursuit, an intellectual sort of passion or some sort of intellectual hobby. No, all that fades away beneath the absolute reality that I pray to God as my Father and he hears me and is with me in my life. That means your life is completely taken over now that you have found him. And there's a lot of talk in the Bible about finding God, finding Jesus. So don't let this idea of, oh, I'm searching for truth, I'm still exploring this, or I'm still on a journey. Yeah, all that has got a bit of relevance in terms of metaphor, but the ultimate truth is that in the face of Jesus Christ and in relationship with him, you have seen the glory of God. You have got there. And you can make the idea of being on a journey and, oh, I'm still working on this, I'm still sorting that out. It's just so much mixed up kid psychobabble talk to excuse you from the huge responsibilities that come from having actually found him. Because, quite rightly, that relationship with joy should take absolutely all of our hearts.